I think we all have this sort of like concern of how we're going to survive, you know.
Right.
It's not even like, what am I going to earn, you know, a lot of money or enough. It's always whether I'm going to earn enough money, you know, to feed my family or to survive.
My name is Esprit Devora, host of the Women in Tech Show. The show means a lot to me. The reason why I wanted to create the Women in Tech Show is I wanted to create a positive piece of content, something where people can listen and say, if she can do it, so can I. I call it actionable empowerment. Every single episode, you'll hear the story of a fantastic woman in tech, from engineers to founders to investors to journalists to designers, all sorts of different females in tech who have thrived. I want to share their stories with you so that you can know what resources, mentors, and life situations they accessed in order to get to where they are today. Enjoy.
This episode is powered by the Swiss Entrepreneurship Program.
We are helping enhancing the startup ecosystems in 6 different countries, 4 of which are based in the Balkans. And you get to meet really amazing people here. And not just that you share your know-how, you also get to learn a lot from these people here. My name is Nina Nikolic, and I am the Manager of Entrepreneurs in Residence and Ecosystem Facilitator for the Swiss Entrepreneurship Program here in Macedonia.
Thank you so much for powering the Women in Tech podcast. Welcome back to the Women in Tech podcast, celebrating women in tech around the world. And oh my gosh, right now I am in Sarajevo, Bosnia at United Nations. This is crazy. Hi, yeah. Tanya. What day is it?
Hi, Esprit. It's Bosnia, not Boston, for all your listeners.
Bosnia, yes.
Because Bosnia usually gets confused with Boston for whatever reason.
And it is the International Day of the Girl.
Yes, that's correct.
And so what happened today?
Yeah, well, we are marking the event, the International Day of the Girl, here at the United Nations in Bosnia and Herzegovina. Luckily, we were fortunate enough to have you here today with us. And I'm very grateful for having you doing this inspirational talk to our wonderful audience and for just mingling and learning about each other.
And go ahead and introduce yourself and tell us a little bit about who you are and what you do.
My name is Tanja Mađarević. I'm an electrical engineer. I finished school here in Bosnia and in Croatia. I have 2 jobs. Like right now, I coordinate the initiative called IT Girls that is supported by the United Nations in Bosnia and Herzegovina. But I also have another technical job of a data analyst working for another private company here in Sarajevo as well.
And when would you say was that first moment you fell in love with technology?
I have to go back to what you were talking about also during your talk here at United Nations, and it was my dad, actually. Yeah, he's the main reason why I'm so much in love with mathematics, first of all, and then everything else related to STEM. I have to tell you first that I'm a son, not a daughter. It's something of culturally that is being used here in the Balkans region,
right?
For whatever reason. So usually parents call their daughters sons.
Yeah.
So that was the case in my family as well. And my mom even calls me son even today sometimes. She would call me up on the phone and tell me, hey, son, happy International Women's Day. Something like that, you
totally.
Know.
Totally.
So basically, they are also both engineers, I must say. My dad is a professor at university, and he was always so passionate about mathematics, and he would always help me in primary school when doing like homework in math. He would get like really excited and was always willing to help me with it. So I got it from him, basically. And so I was sort of naturally good in mathematics. And it continued, like, through the secondary school and also my college.
One of the gentlemen in the audience today is a father of a girl in tech, and he was asking me, how can I help empower more women? What would you say is advice that you'd give to our guys listening right now? What's something that they can do to help foster more empowering women in tech and girls in tech?
Well, they have to give them space. And also women and girls in tech, they also need to sort of take that space as well and tell their story. That is my opinion. Research shows that basically role models are the ones that are inspiring and motivating younger generation girls to start learning about STEM. Role models and leaders such as yourself should be able to sort of break the barriers and talk about STEM, you know, areas like it's English literature or like it's, I don't know, ecology or I'm saying stupid things.
Stop it. I mean, I think this is a great point is one of the girls was asking a question. And before she asked the question, she said, you know, sorry if I'm being annoying. And I think as women, I just noticed we all do that a lot, that whole being apologetic for who we are or apologetic for what we're about to say. Before we even say something, we apologize for it. Sorry that I'm speaking. Sorry that I exist. You know, like I think that it would be really great if our fellow sisters would just remind us we don't have to apologize for ourselves all the time.
Yes, definitely. I totally agree.
Yeah. So your dad exposed you to technology, just as my father exposed me to technology growing up, and that played a major influence. What were the first steps that you saw parlaying it from being a curiosity as a child into becoming more of a professional career? Did you study in school?
Well, yes, I studied data mining in during my master's degree, but it was before, like during university. I have to say that it was one professor, and she was a female professor, that was that really got me thinking about, you know, like having a career in technology. And she was teaching databases, and she was my mentor also during my undergraduate studies, but. She was the role model for me, I would say. And, yeah.
Mm-hmm. And then you went from school, and then after school, what was the first professional experience that you embarked on?
Well, I don't know how.
By the way, did you grow up in Bosnia the whole time?
Yes, I did. I grew up in Bosnia, but, I, was one of the only people, not just girls, but people during undergraduate studies that was also working at the same mm-hmm. time. It's not in our culture to go to university and work at the same time. But unfortunately, because we had war, as you know, and yeah. After the war, American troops were deployed in the vicinity of my hometown. So I basically started working for the telecommunication company called Sprint, which was the third largest in the United States at the time. And they were actually providing telecommunication services for U.S. Army soldiers that were deployed in the vicinity of Tuzla, around 20,000 people. So while studying, I was professionally exposed to helping customers with certain problems they had with their computers, with their network connection, with their phone, etc. And this experience lasted for 10 years.
And then 10 years, that's a very long time.
Yes, they were here for a long time. And actually, I worked for Sprint for about 6 years. And it was a really hard time for me because I worked in shifts, so it was like I would go to work and then go to school afterwards or vice versa. But during those times when I was supposed to like go out and have fun with my friends, you know, the only thing I knew about was my bed or my work desk or, you know, like school.
Was it worth it?
Yes.
And what advice would you give yourself back then, now that you've been through the other side of it, what would you tell yourself?
To relax more.
All of us, right? Yeah.
Yes, most definitely. To relax more, to enjoy the journey, not to think about the destination, just like you were talking earlier today. To sort of not hurry and not worry, I would say. Because I think culture in Bosnia is such that we are constantly, you know, like under this cloud of concerned for existential survival, I would say. This is the country with the really the lowest standard in the whole of Europe. People, even if they have a good standard or good salary in Bosnia and Herzegovina, when you compare it to other countries in the region or in the rest of the Europe, it's really, really small. So that's why we have this, I think we all have this sort of like concern of how we're going to survive, you know.
Right.
It's not even like, what am I going to earn, you know, a lot of money or enough. It's always whether I'm going to earn enough money, you know, to feed my family or to survive. So that's one thing. At the same time, traveling around the world, I realized that besides the fact that we are kind of poor, we are also capable and not lagging behind in terms of intelligence, in terms of just capabilities in like learning, doing things, achieving, and that's been the evidence. I mean, there have been some evidence of that. When I said don't hurry, I mean that why hurry? You know, why to hurry to finish college? Why to hurry to anywhere? But, I mean, I think that people just should just enjoy the life as it is.
Right. And, what was the opportunity after Sprint? Where did you go from there?
When I finished university, and at the time I worked at Sprint, at one point I was enough of work and everything, and I really wanted to quit. So I quit, and I wanted to go to this festival.
It's scary to quit.
Yes, and it's getting scarier and scarier as you grow older, I guess. I don't know why.
I understand that.
Mm-hmm.
It's always different types of fear, right? Yeah. And okay, so after Sprint, and that you quit, and then what happened?
Yeah, I found a job with a local company that was doing a lot of technical stuff, doing web hosting. And I stayed with this company for maybe 3 or 4 years. And they sort of changed their core business into education. So that is how I sort of like started doing this tech education courses and just working with young, with old, with older, with professionals. And it was a very valuable experience for me. At the same time, I was also finishing my master's degree in data mining for telecommunication companies. And when I was supposed to write my thesis, I really could not do both again, you know, like work and study. So I quit the job again. And I dedicated, I don't know, like 9 months to finish my thesis. And it was very successful. So after finishing that, I was like, okay, what am I going to do now? You know, and I was thinking about starting my own business and was looking for ideas and thinking about ideas. So that is when I realized or came with this idea to open up a platform, like an online platform for ordering and delivering food from restaurants in my local community.
Right. As a thesis paper?
No, that was after finishing my master's degree.
Yeah. And then you pursued that company?
Yes.
For how long?
It still lives today. So it's still ongoing business.
And you work here at UNICEF. So like you're doing both.
Yes, actually.
So you don't sleep?
Hardly.
And so what inspired you to become an entrepreneur and to utilize your tech abilities in that way? What have some of the challenges been that you've successfully overcome? Something that we could learn from?
Well, I was always a creator. I always wanted to create things, to make something new. And entrepreneurship and this project was something totally new, like untouched territory,
right,
that I really wanted to go into and to see how I'm going to feel and whether it's going to be for me.
Right.
And because I'm the kind of person who has like a lot of interests in different kinds of stuff, like from sports to music. And this was one of them. And I also wanted to explore the possibility of teaching people. I don't know why would I always have this desire to like to help people in a way,
right?
And change the way of how they sort of like think or do certain things. And this was one of those attempts, because people would usually order food by phone, you know, from local restaurants,
right.
And this was something totally different at the time. Particularly, I mean, if you take into account the fact that only maybe 1 million, maybe 1.5 million people used internet at that time.
Right.
And the penetration of e-commerce websites and e-commerce in general was like maybe 15% to 20% at the time. So we were sort of doomed for failure from the very beginning. But you know, I had this desire to prove everyone wrong, you know.
Yeah.
That was my sort of fuel for this.
And how big is the company now?
Well, I have to say that I didn't go into this endeavor by myself.
Yeah.
I don't know if I wasn't secure enough, but I just felt that it would be easier for me to do it with someone else, with a partner. So I found a partner who went to school with me, to university with me, and he already had a company like doing web development and hosting as well.
Yeah.
So he helped me a lot in terms of, it was the team of four of us who brought the project into life. And now it's actually five people that are sort of, three of them sort of live off of this project.
And now you're here. We did a talk today at United Nations. Like, when did this become part of your life too?
Just recently, I actually found out about this project and initiative from a friend who saw the job posting somewhere online and sent it to me, saying that it's meant for me because I'm this IT girl and I run different projects, so it would be natural to maybe take part in it as well. So I applied for the job, and, you know, 2 months after, it takes that long, 2 months. Lots of kinds of interviews and different assessments, and I got in, you know.
And what would you say you find the most rewarding in your work? What's that one thing that you wake up for every day?
You shouldn't ask me that today.
You produced a huge event. What's the one thing that,
yes,
what's the today, one state of mind?
Today,
yeah. What's the
I
one?
I woke up with this notion, with this feeling and desire just to have this event with at least 20 girls and you and have it success, to be conducted successfully.
So was it successful?
Oh, yes, very much. I'm really, very happy because we did an event in half of day when most people work. So I was kind of afraid that, you know, they will not be able to, like, come to see you, you know, because of work. But hopefully, you know, we had a full room.
Oh, it was exciting. It was very exciting. And where can people touch base with you online, get to know more about who you are and what you do?
Oh, I'm accessible on LinkedIn. That's the platform that I use for professional networking. And
yeah.
Can
you spell your name for everybody so they could find you on LinkedIn?
Twitter also, Facebook, Instagram.
What's your Twitter handle, and can you spell your name for LinkedIn?
My LinkedIn profile is Tanja Mađarević, spelled as TANJA. My last name, MADZAREVIC. My Twitter handle is also the first letter of my first name, TMADZAREVIC. But my Instagram profile is Bossy Bosnian.
Bossy Bosnian. That's so cute. Thank you so much, Tanja, for hanging out with the Women in Tech podcast. What has been one book that you really recommend that personal or professional, what book did you really love?
The book that I really loved was the last that I, well, not the last that I read, but it's called The Artist Way.
Oh,
it's
yes.
It's written by Julie Cameron.
That's a good one.
I love that book.
And what did you love about it?
It just took me back to my childhood. It sort of discovered parts of me that I totally forgot. And it really inspired me to think about myself and to think about my career and my future in like completely different ways.
What is your favorite app or website? Which one do you love?
Gapminder.org.
Gapminder? And tell us about it.
Gapminder.org is the foundation that was started by Hans Rosling. He was the Swedish statistician and the public health practitioner. Unfortunately, he died last year. And the website is actually a tool that helps you visualize different data and get you facts about the world we live in today. So you get like all kinds of different information in a very intuitive and really nice way.
Nice.
If you go to this website, yeah.
And has this been your first podcast?
This has been my first podcast.
So I love asking that because so many girls listening think that everyone on the podcast has been in a million podcasts. And I'd say about 99% of the girls on the podcast have never been on a podcast before. And that is just so exciting.
Thank you so much for giving me the opportunity to,
100%,
to be on a podcast.
100%. Thank you so much for being a part of the Women in Tech podcast. If you guys want to connect with more incredible women around the world, remember to go to womenintechvip.com. Womenintechvip.com takes you to straight to the Facebook group so you could connect with people there. Say hello at Women in Tech Show on Twitter, on Instagram, on Facebook. I will see you guys, talk to you guys, hear you guys in the next episode. Bye.
Hi, this is Tanya Majarevic. I work as a IT Girls project coordinator for IT Girls Initiative supported by United Nations from Bosnia and Herzegovina. And you're listening to Women in Tech.
It would not be possible to celebrate all these women in tech who have been extraordinary here in the Balkan region without the Swiss Entrepreneurship Program. And I'd like to welcome Nina to talk a little bit about what Swiss EP is. Thank you so much for powering the Women in Tech podcast.
We are helping enhancing the startup ecosystems in 6 different countries, 4 of which are based in the Balkans. We are working in emerging markets and supporting young entrepreneurs, but also the supporting organizations like Incubator Accelerating. We started a program called Entrepreneurs in Residence, which means that experts can come and work with our startup founders here and startup teams and supporting organizations. We cover accommodation and travel expenses, and you get to meet really amazing people here, and not just that you share your know-how, you also get to learn a lot from these people here. My name is Nina Nikolic, and I am the manager of Entrepreneurs in Residence and ecosystem facilitator for the Swiss Entrepreneurship Program here in Macedonia.
To find out more about the Swiss Entrepreneurship Program, go to entrepreneur-in-residence.net. That's entrepreneur-in-residence.net.